thankful to our God this morning for his providence and his care that has enabled us to come into his presence, his marvelous presence, to worship him in the way that he is prescribed. We thank you for being here, especially if you're visiting with us. We do have some visitors among us. We're so glad that you can participate in this experience with us. We hope that you are moved by it, that you are moved in your soul and in your spirit as you honor your God in this worship. Again, we thank you for being here. All of us face trouble. Some of us face it more than occasionally. It's part of life. A person's faith, if it's worth anything, their religion, if you will, ought to be able to help them deal with trouble, to find comfort in affliction. We know that. I think we know that intuitively. We would say to anybody who had a faith, and if they said something like this, well, I have a faith, I have a religion, but it really doesn't help me out much. It doesn't do much for me when I'm going through hard times. We would say to that person, what good is that? What use is a religion like that? This morning, let's ask ourselves, do we really receive comfort from our faith in difficult times? It seems to me that there are some who claim to be Christians seem not to receive very much comfort from their faith. I'd like us to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read a number of verses here, starting in verse 3. Please turn there in your Bible if you can. As we think about God being a God of comfort, our need for that, and how he supplies that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. But we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that we will that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. That passage says an awful lot, and I won't pretend to be able to mine the depths of all of it in the short time that we have together this morning. But one thing that stands out to me, and I hope it did to you as you listened to that reading, one word that gets your attention over and over is the word comfort. In the English Standard Version, the word comfort occurs 10 times. In the verses that I just read. I believe it occurs about 7 times in the New King James Version, with a couple of other synonyms thrown in, like consolation. What we're talking about is being comforted in affliction, in trial, in trouble, in difficulty. It's not just any kind of comfort that's under consideration, though. It's a comfort that God supplies us. It's a comfort that God supplies his suffering people. It was enjoyed by Paul and his companions. It was realized as well by the Corinthians. And it's available even this morning to all who suffer affliction. And it's something that we can share with one another as God supplies us with comfort. As we'll see in the lesson, we can share that with each other. this comfort from God, which is a manifestation of His mercy, this comfort is something that we need. It's necessitated because of life's troubles. In chapter 1 and verse 4, the word in the New King James translation is tribulation and trouble. I think the ESV has affliction. The word is translated from a Greek word that's kind of interesting to study. It has to do with being under pressure. We call it today probably stress. When we're under pressure or under stress, it has to do with being pressed. Maybe like in a narrow place where the way of escape seems impossible. Paul and the Christians that he's writing to were in fact pressed. They were stressed. They were as if in a narrow place, restricted, persecuted, under pressure. And I'm sure it seemed to them at times that there was no way out, besides all of the sufferings that just come with living. They had the additional sufferings of being Christians in that day and time. It looked like they were in a small, dark, narrow place that they could not escape from. And that pressure would continue upon them until the day they died. But they were receiving comfort from the highest source, an enabling comfort that enabled them to live with joy even under such pressure, affliction, tribulation. They that received help would need to learn to share it with others, that that help and that comfort might be multiplied. And God made this possible through His mercy and His grace and His providence. So this morning, let's think about the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our affliction. It's interesting that God is the comforter. That's what's said in the text, isn't it? The word comfort is from the Greek word paraclete, which comes from really two Greek words, and it means to call alongside. It's a word probably that you've heard before, that Greek word, even though I know not many of us speak very much Greek. But if you've heard a preacher preach about the Comforter in John chapter 14, and Jesus promises His disciples another Comforter or Helper, some translations say. Well, that's the same Greek word, one who comes alongside to comfort and help you in difficult circumstances. So the apostles were promised the Holy Spirit as a comforter to help them in their work. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, all of us are promised an advocate, is most the way that's usually translated, but the word is the same. It's a helper, a paraclete, a comforter. John writes in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, you know, I write to these things to you that you do not sin, but if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That advocate that we all have, that comfort that we all have as we strive to overcome our sins, is Jesus Christ. He's our helper when it comes to sin. But here in the text of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that helper designation is given to God Himself. The text seems to focus on our Father in heaven, who provides us all comfort. And what I want you to notice especially now, in all affliction, those universal phrases, all comfort, all affliction, suggest to us that whatever trouble we're in, however we're being pressured and pressed and stressed and depressed, whatever's going on in our lives, God is there to help. And His help can see us through whatever it is that's happening. You see, all affliction, all trouble or tribulation, as you see in the text, really covers a lot, doesn't it? You ever heard this phrase? Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. We've all had a lot of troubles, haven't we? We think nobody knows the troubles we've seen. I can assure you that there's no trial or temptation that overtakes us, but such as is common to man. We've all got a lot of troubles. God's comfort goes everywhere the trouble goes, in whatever it is that we're facing in life. And that fact, that reality right there, is in it itself comforting, isn't it? To realize there's nothing that I can face in this life, there's nothing that I have faced, am facing, or will face in this life that God can't help me with. He is the God of all comfort in whatever the affliction is. The Apostle Paul was certainly well acquainted with affliction, and he brings this up multiple times in 2 Corinthians. I want to look at one of those times with you right now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he's, in this text, starting in verse 22, he's comparing his self and his apostleship to those who might be his competitors, if you will, for the affections of the Corinthians. Maybe some of them even false apostles. But he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I receive 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often. Perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils of the Gentiles, and perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and besides the other things, what comes on me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Think you got troubles. Paul knew trouble. He knew lots of it. And yet he said, God, God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions. This morning, God will do the same for you. There are a few of us in this life, privileged as we are in this country and blessed by God as we are, who will ever come near experiencing the kind of tribulation and affliction and trouble that Paul did in his life. Not anywhere near. Surely, if God could supply him with all comfort, he could supply us. But it comes back to this matter of what our theme is this year at Eastside. Do we have faith for it? Do we have faith to receive His comfort, to call upon Him for it, to understand how it is that He supplies us with that comfort and to take hold of it? I want to think with you for a few minutes about how the God of all comfort comforts. How does He accomplish that? And I'll just start by saying this. I don't pretend to know all of the ways that He accomplishes that. Certainly His ways are far above Steve Klein's, His power and knowledge and wisdom, and His means of doing things in this world are to us mysterious. There may be ways that God comforts that we cannot objectively quantify or describe. God responds providentially to our prayers and works things out for us to answer our prayers. We don't know how He always does that. Or maybe how He does it at all. But we know that He does. We accept that again by faith. And there are ways and means at His disposal that we cannot clearly know or understand. Yet for us, the result is that we are comforted. The fact that I cannot identify every way that God comforts me doesn't detract at all from my confidence in Him. Or my reception of that comfort. But Paul doesn't leave us entirely guessing in this text. And I believe that there are at least three ways he shows us that we can know that God comforts us. And the first of them is through his people. We receive mutual comfort from one another. There are many passages in the New Testament that indicate this. Focus again back on 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. He comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You see what Paul's saying? I am comforted by God, and one of the reasons I am is so that I can comfort others. To be able to share that comfort with others. And in verse 6, he in a very powerful way says, if we are afflicted, it's for your consolation. So he regarded, think about this, he regarded, you know what? One of the comforts I get from suffering is that I know God's going to comfort me and I can comfort others who are afflicted. It's for your comfort that I'm afflicted. That's how Paul saw it. That in itself is comforting. But my point is, what Paul's point is, that he can share the comfort that God gives with him, God's encouragement, God's consolation, with others who are going through difficulties. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 4 in the New Century Version reads this way. God comforts us every time we have trouble so that we can comfort others when they have trouble. That's pretty plain. We can comfort them with the same comfort that God gives us. So it's so simple. Receivers of comfort become givers of comfort. You've gone through something. God has seen you through it. And that so enables you and empowers you to help somebody else who goes through something similar. Romans 12 and verse 15 tells us that we're to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. This is the power of God working through us. It's not that we just comfort one another, it's that God is working through us to comfort one another. Our suffering together brings along this comfort as well. And I think that's what Paul is saying in verse 5 of our text. As the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds. We're suffering, going through affliction, going through difficulties in life, and we're doing that together. Share a couple of verses with you along this line. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul's writing to the Colossians as he winds down that good epistle, and he says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instruction, and he comes to you, welcome him, and Jesus, who's also called Justice. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom, who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. These men that Paul mentions in this text, they were his fellow workers. And in this context, and on this occasion, he mentions them as his only fellow workers right then and there. But because they were working with him, and they were with him, he was comforted. Paul, as he writes, the Colossians was in prison. And he mentions one in this list, Aristarchus, who is my fellow prisoner. One thing Paul couldn't say is, Lord, why me? I'm the only one that's going through this. When he's got maybe Aristarchus in chains right next to him. And the fact that he has a brother, you wouldn't want a brother to have to go through this with you, but the fact that you do have a brother in Christ going through something with you. Does that give you comfort and strength? And you don't want to quit, and you don't want to despair because you know how that would affect him. It's one who's in the same situation with you. We've got to keep on going, and we've got to see this through. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah, it's painful. Whatever it is. But Aristarchus was with Paul. We are together. What we're facing in this world as Christians. As we witness the faith of fellow Christians enduring affliction, we're comforted together by that. Paul writes to the Thessalonians along this line in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 7. He says, "Brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we are comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord." Paul's, in essence, he's saying, we can go through whatever trouble we're facing if we know that you're going through the trouble that you're facing. That you're being faithful. And that you're being true to the Lord, whatever it is that's happening to you. The sequoia trees of California tower as much as 300 feet above the forest floor. That's a tall tree. You very seldom see one standing alone. The reason is they can't stand alone. They're weak. Their root system is shallow and relatively weak. And a strong wind can blow one over. It stands alone. But underneath the surface, all the roots are intertwined. And because they are, the trees stand strong for a long time, hundreds of years. Whatever the storms, whatever the winds, whatever the affliction, however hard they're pressed, they stand because they stand together. Christian, so it is with us. We can stand with those roots intertwined. Faith in God, rooted and grounded in faith, as Paul says. God of all comfort comforts us through one another. He comforts us through His power to raise the dead. It's exactly what Paul says again in verses 8 and 9. I won't go back and read that, but you might notice that because God could raise the dead at the end of verse 9, Paul received comfort. He knew that nothing that happened to him in this life could take away the most important thing, and that is an eternity with God. Whatever happened to him, and that's the same with us today, whatever happens to us, whatever difficulties and pressures that we're under, whatever pain we must endure, whatever death we must die, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can take away our eternity because God raises the dead. I read about a man who was drowning, who was rescued. And this same thing could be said of many others in similar situations. But the man proclaimed, "God is good." How many times someone get over an illness or avoid serious injury in an accident or whatever it might be, and someone proclaims, "God is good." And He is. And it's only through His blessings and providence that we can escape such situations. And I'm not saying, don't say God is good. Say God is good. But let me tell you something. It wouldn't have mattered if a man had drowned. God hadn't allowed you to recover from that illness, if God hadn't rescued you from that imminent danger or allowed you not to be harmed so severely in an accident, God is good anyway. God is good all the time. Whatever happens to us in this life. And the reason we can say that is this. Because God still holds eternity in His hand. And the glories of heaven are not worthy to be compared with whatever we suffer in this life. I mentioned that Paul gets back on this multiple times in 2 Corinthians. I'd like you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You'll see it again. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, "We are hard pressed on every side." The same thing he was talking about in chapter 1. Again, he brings it up. We're hard pressed. We're in affliction. We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus will also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always being delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, here it is, the spirit of faith, believing that God can raise us from the dead. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. You see his point? That it's the power of Jesus Christ, the power of an endless life, the power of God to raise him from the dead and raise us from the dead, gives us comfort no matter what happens. And that therefore in verse 16 is one of the biggest therefores in all of Scripture. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There is comfort. The eternal things. Lastly, we're comforted because we know that God answers prayer. Paul mentions the prayers of the saints on his behalf, and he is well aware that it's through those prayers that his deliverance has come. And that's a comfort to him because he knows the strength and the power that's in prayer, because you take your position, you take your petition to the one who is all-powerful and almighty. Someone has said, really, the power is not in the prayer, it's in the one who answers the prayer, and I guess that is more accurate. Because he is all-powerful. A bulletin board in a machine shop had this notice on it. In case of accident or injury, notify your supervisor immediately. Got problems? Speak to your supervisor. He'll help you handle it. A little boy prayed one night, dear God, I hope you take care of yourself. Because if anything happens to you, we're all in a big fat mess. Nothing's going to happen to him. He is the all-powerful, the almighty, the eternal. The answer to prayer. That is a comfort. So, through God's mercy and His grace, His goodness, His kindness, and His care, we find comfort in affliction. But remember, it's given to us for a reason, as everything that God gives us is. It's given to us for a reason, so that we can comfort others. And when we're pressed and depressed and suffering or in despair, our ongoing faith in God is what comforts us. Even when we feel like we're in a narrow and dark place, just remember, we're getting comfort and help and consolation from the highest source. We can share it. The God of all comfort. O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear. That's my God. This morning I want to say to you, no matter what is happening in your life, no matter what spiritual or physical distress you may be under, take it to God. If the problem this morning is sin in your life, as it is for so many, God can comfort you in that as well, because He gave His Son to die so that your sins might be forgiven, so that you might have the strength to overcome temptation, so that you might have a hope of eternity. So right here, right now, cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. He'll solve that problem, whatever it is. And He'll give you the power to go on. Right here, right now, if you're subject to the invitation of Christ, if you would become a Christian, if you're not one, by naming the name of Jesus and being baptized in the water, maybe you're a Christian who's just weighed down. Won't you let God lift you up while we stand and while we sing?